RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The value of Indonesian investment in Egypt, $70 million US. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed the sense of peace in Aceh is to increase prosperity. Transmigration is an excellent program in passing democratic bonus. Now the news in detail. The value of investment of business people from Indonesia until mid-August 2015 reached $70 million US. In addition, there are a number of investment cooperation between Indonesia and Egyptian business people. Second Secretary for Economic Affairs of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Puji Basuki, said one of the Indonesian companies engaged in manufacture and glassware has formed a partnership with Egyptian business people to build a factory in Egypt. Besides, a number of other cooperations are being explored, including the one carried out by Kawasan Brigad Nusantara, which some time ago was visited by Egypt to see the opportunities for opening bandit area. Tires company from Indonesia is also exploring cooperation with the Egyptian business people to open a factory in the country. According to Basuki, Egypt is a gateway to Europe, which has a free trade agreement with European countries. It is very favorable for entrepreneurs, especially now the new Suez Canal is open, which is the entrance from Asia to Europe and vice versa. Not to mention a number of investment incentives are given by the Egyptian government at this time. So he invited the Indonesian business people to invest capital in Egypt.
Banyak pengetahuan kami, jumlahnya itu sekitar 70.
As far as we know, as much as $70 million from capital investment running in Egypt. The investment value is only from Indofood as one of the companies that has been recorded in the Egyptian Investment Authority. Others may be in the form of money, for example, in the form of factory machinery, such as cooperation is between Kedawund and one businessman in Egypt. Despite the number of advantages to invest in Egypt, Fuji said, there are a number of obstacles factors. Among other things, they are the lengthy permission process or difficult resident permit for business people or foreign experts. Those obstacles have discussed that the process of establishing a factory in Egypt takes a long time. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the challenge of 10 years of peace in Aceh is to create public welfare. He said in Jakarta on Saturday that peace has been achieved. The only need now is the implementation of all the government efforts to improve the welfare. The peace between Indonesian government and Free Aceh Movement was agreed with the signing of Memorandum of Understanding on Peace in Helsinki, Finland on August 15, 2005. Provincial government of Aceh commemorated 10 years of peace, which was centered in the Masjid Raya Baitur Rahman Banda Aceh on August 15, 2015. At the peak of the event, an international seminar discussing the peace process of Aceh was held. Villages, disadvantaged regions and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar said transmigration becomes one of the flagship programs of the government in order to face the demographic bonus. Minister Marwan said in Jakarta on Saturday that confronting Indonesian demographic bonus would be a disaster if it is not addressed and planned properly. Therefore, the Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry confirmed that the transmigration program in the Joko Widodo's Yusuf Kala government will be a placid program. Minister Marwan added transmigration program that begins to deem has to be revived. Because according to Minister Marwan, transmigration is important effort in the distribution of Indonesian population. The transmigration program he headed could prove to be an outstanding contribution in the economic growth and population growth. The Ministry of Agriculture adopted a policy to send cattle from East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, to Jakarta in order to overcome the scarcity and rising beef in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman stated in Jakarta on Saturday that the policy has taken as long turn effort to overcome the problem of scarcity and high prices of meat, which has always happened. He said the cattle carrier vessel has a loading capacity up to 500 cattle at one way, and it is planned that at the end of August 2015, one fleet has begun running. Minister Amran also stated to increase the cattle population ahead, his site will increase the movement of artificial insemination for female cattle. Speaking about the cattle import policy that is to be done in order to overcome the scarcity and rising price of the meat on the domestic market, Minister Amran said the government gave authority to the two state-owned companies, namely Bulog and PT Budikari, to do it. The last item, the Minister of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration cooperates with Bank Rakyat Indonesia, BRI, and Logistic Agency in marketing and insuring agriculture products produced by the villagers. Minister of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Marwan Jafar said that the cooperation with Bank Rakyat Indonesia and Logistic Agency will encourage community development, marketing and absorption of food production as well as banking services in supporting food self-sufficiency in rural and underdeveloped areas and transmigration areas. Recently, Minister Marwan Jafar and Managing Director of Bank Rakyat Indonesia Asmawi Samt, as well as the Director of Logistic Agency Jarod Kusuma Yakti, signed an agreement for food self-sufficiency. According to Minister Marwan, cooperation with Bank Rakyat Indonesia and Logistic Agency is a strategic step to strengthen the economy of rural communities, disadvantaged areas, and transmigration areas. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, we start from news from Jakarta province. Precisely in the peak celebration of the National Technology Awakening Day on Monday, August 10, 2015, three Indonesian ships left to conduct marine research mission. Regal 933 research ship was the most attractive one. The ship would do underwater mapping. The sea mapping mission becomes the first research mission. The areas that will be surveyed are waters between Batam and Singapore. One of advanced devices of Regal 933 that supports its function is Autonomous Underwater Vehicle, or AUV. With the device, the ship can do underwater mapping until the depth of 1,000 meters. The result of the mapping can be sent in the real time. Besides Regal 933, the ships that left for research mission on Monday are KRI Bawal Putih and KRI Baruna Jaya 4. KRI Bawal Putih will do fish stock survey, while Baruna Jaya 4 will research Penajam waters in East Kalimantan, which according to plan will become Marine Technopark. Listener, the next information comes from North Toraja Regency, Makassar, South Sulawesi. Several international musicians enliven Toraja International Festival, which has been held since August 13 to the 16 in Rantepau, North Toraja Regency. The international musicians include Gotrasawala Ensemble and Anna Alcaid from Spain, Boy Aki from the Netherlands, Ron Reeves from Australia, Helga Sedli from Hungary, and Zbegim Yoslari from Uzbekistan. Toraja International Festival Communication Manager Priti Saraswati said on Thursday, Toraja International Festival is an international festival which aims to bring various international groups and arts to the land of Toraja. It also featured Toraja traditional art, including a series of dances and mabugi song. The festival also presented Toraja Weaving Tour, or Saadan, on August 13, Kete Kesu Toraja Handicraft Exhibition, Food Fest, and Toraja Coffee Corner. Listener, the last news comes from the city of Ambon. Defense Mariner Battalion Commander in the 9th Ambon Headquarters, Major Mariner Trio Freddy Ramsey Sumantri, stated he had put Coral Reef's house framework ahead of Safe Coral Reef event. Later, the Coral Reef house will be planted with coral reefs. He added that the planting of the national 1 million coral reefs on August 15, 2015, and it was centered in three areas, including Barat Sabang, Aceh, Manado, North Sulawesi, and Ambon, Maluku, for the eastern area. Trio Freddy Ramsey revealed that coral reefs that will be planted are varied. They are adjusted with marine culture, acidity level, salt, and depth. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with August the 16th, 1945, Rengas Dengklok Incident. The background of Rengas Dengklok incident was disagreements between the older generation with younger groups on the timing of the proclamation of Indonesian independence. The older generation, such as Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta, wanted the proclamation of independence to be discussed with Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee. The younger groups, on the other hand, wanted it to be done as soon as possible. The young group then took Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta to Rengas Dengklok district in West Java to force them to accelerate the proclamation of independence of the Republic of Indonesia. They wanted it on August 16, 1945, there and then. But Soekarno wanted to do it in Jakarta on the next day. Eventually, the proclamation of the independence was made on August 17, 1945 at the residence of Bung Karno or Soekarno at Pegangsaan Timur 56, Jakarta. It was read by him on behalf of the Indonesian nation. Next is August 16, 1960. Cyprus gains its independence from the United Kingdom. Cyprus, officially the Republic of Cyprus, is an island country in the eastern Mediterranean Sea. Cyprus is the third largest and third most populous island in the Mediterranean and a member state of the European Union. It is located south of Turkey, west of Syria and Lebanon, northwest of Israel and Gaza Strip, north of Egypt and east of Greece. Cyprus was placed under British administration in 1878 and formally annexed by Britain in 1914. The partition of Cyprus and creation of a Turkish state in the north became a policy of Turkish Cypriot leader and Turkey in the 1950s. Turkish leaders for a period advocated the annexation of Cyprus to Turkey as Cyprus was considered an extension of Anatolia by them, while since the 19th century, the majority Greek Cypriot population and its Orthodox Church had been pursuing union with Greece, which became a Greek national policy in the 1950s. Following nationalist violence in the 1950s, Cyprus was granted independence in 1960. Last is August 16, 1972, Indonesian spelling enhanced or perfected came into effect. On May 23, 1972, a joint statement was signed by Education Minister of Malaysia Tun Hussein Onn and Minister of Education and Culture of Indonesia Mashuri. The joint statement is an agreement to implement the consensus of language experts of the two countries about a new spelling and perfected spelling of Bahasa Melayu and Indonesia, that is the Malay and Indonesian languages, which have the same root. On August 16, 1972, with a presidential decree, the new Latin spelling system for Malay and Indonesian came into effect. In the state address to mark the 27th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1972, the new spelling for Indonesian was officially implemented by the President of the Republic of Indonesia. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with me Rahma, entitled The Rising Beef Price. Listener, since the government issued cow import quota restriction in the end of 2014, traders and importers have been worried of lacking beef supply to market and consumers. The worry is finally proven in the rising beef price. It culminates in August 2015. Now beef price is out of control. Many people assume that there is cow trading cartel. It is worsened with sour economic situation and weak people's purchasing power. The rising beef price causes cow traders go on strike in several cities. In response to the issue, President Joko Widodo said the government plans to import beef to anticipate beef scarcity in market. The president suspected that there is a game that triggers beef price hike. The increasing beef price will make the government import beef. The president confirmed that if it is imported, but the price remains high, the government will take it over by buying beef in market directly. Following the quiet high price of beef, meat traders went on selling strike. Meat price keeps high after Lebaran festivity, that it makes traders find it hard to sell meat. Chairman of the Indonesian Meat Traders Association, Asnawi, stated, "The strike has happened since Saturday, August 8, 2015, in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi, and some areas in West Java, Banten, and some other provinces." He asked the government to take stance on this issue. He also asked the government and all parties to sit together and recalculate the needs as well as the national cow supply availability. Executive Director of the Indonesian Meat Producers and Feedlot Association, Johnny Liano, said that beef price hike after Lebaran is anomaly. The price increase is not caused by the psychological factor of consumers, but by imbalanced supply and demand. Johnny explained that based on the needs calculation, cow import in the third quarter of 2015 reaches 250,000. The number is used for the needs of Idul Adha, or Islamic Sacrifice Day, Christmas, and New Year. However, the government took a policy to reduce the number of imported cows in the third quarter of 2015 into 50,000, because local cow stock was still enough. Johnny explained that local cow stock is actually not enough because local breeders prefer to slaughter their cows on Idul Adha. Thus, the domestic needs of cows still rely on imported beef. Meanwhile, Indonesia for Global Justice evaluated that the rising beef price should encourage the acceleration of the Presidential Decree No. 71, year 2015, on the determination and storage of the primary needs and important goods to answer food price hike. It is because the solution of price stabilization should be about the basic thing, instead of short-term solution like market operation and allowing import. Research and the Indonesian Science Center Manager at Indonesia for Global Justice, Rahmi Hertanti, said, "The main problem of staple food price instability is because the government gives it to market mechanism. To show its commitment in the future, the government should assure that staple food price stabilization should be under the government's control. In the meantime, in an economic coordination meeting led by the president last early week, has made a decision on short-term and very short-term programs. The first one is that the state logistics agency Bulog continues to do market operation, so that meat scarcity in market will be handled by Bulog. The second one is coordination meeting allows Bulog to import 50,000 cows which are ready to be slaughtered." Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The value of investment of business people from Indonesia until mid-August 2015 reached $70 million. In addition, there are a number of investment corporations between Indonesian and Egyptian business people. Second Secretary for Economic Affairs of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Puji Basuki, said one of Indonesian companies engaged in the manufacture and glassware has formed a partnership with Egyptian business people to build a factory in Egypt. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the challenge of 10 years of peace in Aceh is to create public welfare. He said in Jakarta on Saturday peace has been achieved. The only need now is the implementation of all government efforts to improve the welfare. Villages and disadvantaged regions and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar said transmigration becomes one of the flagship programs of the government in order to face the demographic bonus. Ministry of Agriculture adopted a policy to send cattle from East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, to Jakarta in order to overcome the scarcity and rising beef in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. The Ministry of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration cooperates with Bank Rakyat Indonesia, BRI and Logistics Agency in marketing and ensuring agriculture products produced by the villagers. Minister of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Marwan Jafar said that the cooperation with Bank Rakyat Indonesia and Logistics Agency will encourage community development, marketing and absorption of food production as well as banking services supporting food self-sufficiency in rural, underdeveloped and transmigration areas. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you in a tour to Teluk Hijau in East Java. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Teluk Hijau, or often referred to as Green Bay, is located in Pesanggaran District, Sarongan Village, about 90 kilometers south of the city of Banyuwangi. It is called Teluk Hijau, or in English, Green Bay, because the water there is greenish. It also has unique fine white sand, so fine that it is easily attached to the skin. In addition to the clear green panoramic sea water with white sand, Teluk Hijau also has an 8 meters high waterfall. At its west and east ends, there are also fantastic rocks. To get to Teluk Hijau is a little bit difficult. It takes about 3 hours from Banyuwangi City. At first, you depart from Banyuwangi to Lembu border, traversing asphalt path, but when entering the territory of plantations, the path turns rocks along 20 kilometers. Although the road is rugged, you will not be upset because you can still enjoy the natural scenery such as cocoa plantations on either side of the road and also the green hills. The route passes Sarongan Village, Rajakwesi Beach, Gapura or GTN, Merubetiri and Bukit Tinggi. When you reach Bukit Tinggi, or in English Hilltop, you have to stop to leave your car. Vehicles that can pass Bukit Tinggi is just motorcycle or bicycle maybe, so you can go on foot if you want. You will go through another path uphill and downhill. This is very dangerous, and if not careful, you could slip. After a walk or bike ride as far as 2 kilometers, you will arrive in Teluk Hijau. You will definitely be surprised to see a clean green bay view, which is quite secluded. Here, you can enjoy the white sand, the roar of the south waves, and large rocks that line neatly and beautifully. Besides, the weather in Teluk Hijau is pretty cool. Here, you can swim or just play near the water. The sand is so soft and fine that you can have a wonderful sunbathing on the beach. After a swim, you can wash in fresh water from the waterfall located on the east side. For those of you who like camping, you can also set up a tent here. Tourists who come to Green Bay usually would go up the hill beside the bay to enjoy the beauty of Teluk Hijau as a whole. The most important thing is don't forget to bring camera or other documentation tools so you can capture the beauty of exotic Teluk Hijau. That was Indonesian Wonder today, introducing the beauty of Teluk Hijau or Green Bay in Banyuwangi. If you are in East Java, especially Banyuwangi, take time to visit this beautiful beach. Until tomorrow with other interesting topic.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Ms. Leni, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle and history. In connection with Indonesian Independence Day, which falls on August 17th, today's edition of Ms. Leni will be discussing the sacred flag of the Republic of Indonesia. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Sangsaka Merah Putih is the name given to the first Indonesian flag. It means the sacred red and white. The flag was sewn by Madame Fatmawati, wife of Indonesia's first president Sukarno. The flag design is based on the flag of the Kingdom of Majapahit in the 13th century, which consists of two colors, red and white. It was first hoisted at Sukarno's house at Pegangsaan Timur Street No. 56, Jakarta, after the reading of the Proclamation of Indonesian Independence. The flag was raised on a bamboo pole by troops assigned to the flag raisers, nowadays it's called Paskibraka, led by Captain Latif Handraningrat. The flag remains hoisted day and night in the place of origin until the capital of the Republic of Indonesia was moved to Yogyakarta on January 4, 1946. The president and the vice president of the new republic had to leave Jakarta to Yogyakarta by train. The flag was taken to Yogyakarta and included in the personal luggage of President Sukarno. On December 19, 1948, the Dutch launched the second aggression to the Republic of Indonesia. When the Great House of Yogyakarta, which then was the presidential palace, was surrounded by the Netherlands troops, Hussein Mutahar was then called by President Sukarno and assigned to save the flag. Rescuing the flag so the red and white could stay hoisted in Indonesian land is one part of the history of this nation. Hussein Mutahar had to split the red and white sections with the help of Mrs. Pernadinata, stitches between the colors that had been hand-sewn by Madame Fatmawati Sukarno was successfully separated. Each piece of the red and white was put on the base of two bags belonging to Hussein Mutahar, then covered with his clothes and other equipment. According to Hussein Mutahar, if the flag is separated, it cannot be called a flag because only in the form of two strips of red and white cloths. This is to avoid it being seized by the Dutch. Mutahar was required to guard the flag with his life. Despite being arrested by the Dutch army and later managed to run away, Mutahar successfully got the flag back to Jakarta, sewed it back and gave it to Sujono. Sujono then handed the flag back to Sukarno, who was then in exile in Bangka. The flag was last hoisted in 1969. Because it was too old, then a duplicate flag was made for the 17-meter pole at the presidential palace. The flag material consists of three pieces of red wool sewn longwise and three pieces of yellowish white cloth. Actually, the red and white flag, the duplicate of the original, should be made of Indonesian natural silk without seams with red color from original Indonesian dye. For some reason, the idea was not implemented. The duplicate flag was made of cotton from Britain without seams, measuring 200 times 300 centimeters. It was made by the Textile Research Institute in Bandung, assisted by PT Ratna in Ciawi. The flag duplicates were distributed to each of Level 1 and Level 2 regions and representatives of Indonesia overseas on August 5, 1969. Since then, the original flag is never hoisted anymore, only used as a companion at the time of the raising and lowering of the duplicate. That was Miss Leni today. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia. Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the 4th floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this weekly segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have spent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letter or emails. First, I'd like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. Hello Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, thank you for your email dated July 27, 2015. We are very glad because you're always interested in our segments of English program. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you and our regular listeners, we'll play you one song from Dewi Sandra with Buktikan or Prove It. Enjoy the song.
Ketika kamu dalam satu Saja satu. Ku coba untuk mengenalmu, membaca kamu.
Oh, lamakah kita bertahan? Setiap tingkah ku membuatmu bertanya padaku.
Apakah kamu benar pernah sayang?
Tentu saja ku benar sayang kamu.
Buktikanlah, buktikan, coba buktikan pada
hati ini, cinta ini hanya butuh, hanya ingin dirimu, dirimu selamanya.
Buktikanlah, buktikan,
coba buktikan kepadaku.
Perasaan burukku, berakaku, salahkah aku yang selalu meragukan cintamu.
Lamakah kita bertahan? Setiap tingkah ku membuatmu bertanya padaku.
Apakah kamu benar-benar sayang
saja? Ku benar sayang kamu.
Buktikanlah, buktikan, coba buktikan pada
hati ini, cinta ini hanya butuh, hanya ingin dirimu, dirimu selamanya.
Buktikanlah, buktikan,
coba buktikan kepadaku.
Ku akan menyaksikan,
dan hanyalah kepercayaan yang bisa membuat kita bertahan selamanya, selamanya.
Apakah kamu benar-benar sayang
Listener, before we continue to answer the emails, we'll introduce you to one of Indonesian singers, Dewi Sandra. Listener, that was a song presented by one of Indonesian singers, Dewi Sandra. Dewi Sandra Kilik, who was born on April 3, 1980, better known as Dewi Sandra, is an Indonesian singer, dancer, actress, and a model. From 1919 to 2004, Sandra won the Panasonic Award for the Best Female Presenter. In 2001, she received the Indonesian Music Award for the Best R&B Album. For Him magazine, Indonesia selected Sandra as the sexiest female Indonesian artist and listed her 7th on their list of the sexiest women in the world in 2004. And that's a glimpse of Dewi Sandra. Well, before we play another song by Dewi Sandra, we will reply an email from Bernd Seiser in Germany. Hello, Mr. Bernd Seiser, how are you? Thank you very much for your email dated August 13th, 2015. In his email, Mr. Bernd Seiser has said that he can listen to our broadcast again through the frequency of 9525 kHz at 1800 hours UTC, and the SINPO was 34343. Mr. Bernd Seiser, we are very glad because our listener can tune in our radio through the frequency 9525 kHz again. Hopefully more listeners know that our frequency is back and we are now still trying to improving the quality of our shortwave broadcast. Well, Mr. Bernd Seiser, thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Please keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report. Thank you. Special for you and your club, we'll play you a beautiful song by Dewi Sandra with Ku Akui or I Admit It. Enjoy the song.
Kau coba
Now, we continue to reply an email from Patrick Travers in England. We have received his email dated July 16, 2015. He told us that he was listening to the Voice of Indonesia on the web stream on 9:30 GMT. If you are going out and still want to tune to our radio, well, you can listen to our broadcast via mobile application through your smartphones by downloading RRI Play or RRI Play for your smartphones with Android or iOS. You'll be able to listen to Voice of Indonesia broadcast both on demand and audio streaming, and also another program of RRI local stations across Indonesia. So you can tune in our station everywhere. Or you can also listen to Voice of Indonesia programs through TuneIn or Edu. Well, Mr. Patrick Travers, special for you and our other regular listeners, we'll play a beautiful song from Dewi Sandra entitled Kapan Lagi, Bilang I Love You, or When Will You Say I Love You Again. Let's check it out.
Hati.
Well, listener, that was another hit by Dewi Sandra. Unfortunately, we have to sign off. We really appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send us your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, and English@voi.co.id, English@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia. Also follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. And tomorrow, Indonesia will celebrate its 70th Independence Day. We would like to thank our dear listener who have sent your greetings on our Independence Day. We have received greetings from Azam Ali Somro from Pakistan, who sent a photograph of a girl with Indonesian red and white flag on the background with Bhinneka Tunggal Ika words. Thank you very much. We have also received greetings from Muhammad Islaid in Egypt, Kalababas from Pakistan, and many more. Well, listener, to conclude Listener's Mailbag, we'll play another song from Dewi Sandra with Tak Ingin Lagi or Don't Want Anymore. I'm Steve, thank you very much for listening, and we'll meet you again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.